Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As our custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures, then look into what God has for us today. We want to read Romans chapter 8, the verse 14 to the verse 16. Romans 8, 14 to 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The last verse. The Spirit is a very witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Second reading is the book of Matthew chapter 16 verse 13 to 17. Matthew 16 verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. Said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Our last reading, Psalm 23, verse 1 to 3. And I want us to read together, church. Psalm 23, verse 1 to 3. Oh, I can't hear you. Are you with me in church? Wait. Why is it that every Sunday I have to plead with you to read with me? Okay, church, we are reading together. Let's go, He leads me beside the stills. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Hallelujah. This is our anchor scriptures for the day. And this is what we are going to stand on to look at the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, we are wrapping up one of the key areas of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer. If you can recall very well, at the start of this concept of the Holy Spirit, I specifically mentioned that the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer is in generally twofold. Number one, the transformation or ministry or the transformation. And number two, the empowerment. Do you remember that? So when you are born again, the Holy Spirit works on you to transform you. Are you with me? Good. And he also empowers you that you can live that transformed life in reality. So we looked at the beginning of the transformational life of the believer. We said the first thing the Holy Spirit does is to activate your spiritual senses. Because he cannot deal with you if you are not spiritually hot. Alive, because his spirit, and they that must worship him in truth and in what? In spirit. So the first thing that the Holy Spirit does to you is to what? Activate your spiritual senses. When they are activated, it is your job to keep them what? Alive. So the Bible says to be carnally minded is what? Dead. But to be spiritually what? Minded is what? Life. That spiritual mindedness or being mindful of your spirit is what we call life. That means keeping your spiritual senses what? Alive. And I told you, I have six spiritual senses. Amen. Then when the Holy Spirit has been able to activate your spiritual senses, the next thing he does is what? To teach you. So the Spirit of God will teach you things pertaining to the reality that you have come into. So he said he shall teach you all things. So we are exposed to the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Then when he has taught you to come to the knowledge of the things of God, which is the truth, he then provides guidance and what? Direction. He provides what? Guidance and what? Direction. So the Holy Spirit guides you and what? Directs you. So that's what we looked at last week. The guidance and the directions of what? The Holy Spirit. Now, after the Holy Spirit has been able to provide guidance, these all processes leads to one thing. That is the leadings of the Holy Spirit. So the teaching of the Holy Spirit, his guidance and direction, all leads to one thing. The ability of the Spirit to minister directions to you. Sorry, leadership to you. So the ultimate goal of God is that he wants to use the Holy Spirit to what? Lead you. And that is what is our introductory what? Scripture. He said, as many that are what? Led by the Spirit of God are the what? Sons of God. So the leadings of the Holy Spirit is a necessity, because as far as we are called sons of God, the only way we can be sons of God and the only way we can attain that sonship and confirm that sonship on us is that we are led by the Holy Spirit. Are we there? Are you with me? Are we there? So the ministry of the Holy Spirit with regards to guidance and direction is ultimately to lead you. Why? Because he is the shepherd of our life, and shepherd's function is to lead their sheep. Psalm 23. He lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He is able to lead me because he is my what? Shepherd. So the reality of the ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer in the course of transforming the believer has to do with leading. So you cannot call yourself that you are a son of God if we cannot see the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. We must be able to see the Holy Spirit leading you through teaching you, through guiding you, and through what? Directing you. When you are exposed to these three things of the Spirit, then we can say that as it stands now, you are a son of God because you are being led by the Spirit. Are you with me? So the primary reason for the Holy Spirit to lead us, or the reason why we need the leadership, because he's our shepherd. He's the shepherd of our life. The Lord is my shepherd. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. So he's Lord and he leads us. Now the leadership of the Holy Spirit is necessary because we are to live and conform fully to the will of God, which is exclusively possible when we are led by the Holy Spirit. Can we read Mark chapter 3 verse 35 quickly? Mark 3:35. Now, why do we need the Holy Spirit to lead us? Why is the leadership of the Holy Spirit very necessary? I told her that the leadership of the Holy Spirit comprises of what? The guidance and the directions. Is that not it? And the teaching. So let's get it. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my what? Mother. Jesus is trying to call out those who are his family members. This very scripture came as a result of the mother and the father coming to look for him when he was missing. And he was telling his disciples that those who I call family are those who do the will of my father. So for you to be part of the family or to be identified as, you see, there's one thing to claim you are part, and it's another thing to be known that you are part of it. Let's take some practical example. Should we use football or politics? Which of them? We should use politics. Some of you will be here, you claim that you're MPP members, but they don't know you. Have you been part of the kick that has been? I don't want trouble. Are you with me? So there's one thing to claim that you are part. There is another thing to be known that you are what? Part of it. So it is not, you can't just profess your identity or your part, you being part of the family by just voice. Jesus said that those who do the will of my father, they are my what? Family members. So there is a criteria that qualifies you as a family member. It's not because you claim that you are one. No, there are things that you need to do that makes you part of what? The family. And these things, they are only possible by the leadings of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the only person who have full knowledge of the mind and the will of God. It's only the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10 and 11. Let's read that. Are you following me? We are talking about the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the leadings of the Holy Spirit, as very important, because that is what the guidance and the directions of the Holy Spirit is meant to be. So now let's look at it. It's only the Holy Spirit. Now, say, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So he's saying that only your spirit have full knowledge of what you know. Means that as we sit here, what you are planning to do in the next minute, I don't know. It is only by the grace of God, God will give me a bit knowledge through prophetic encounter. If not, we are at your mercy. So if we are sitting here and some of you are already on a bomb, or you are already here to do suicide, we don't know. We are all going to be victims of it. Are you there? If any of you is carrying something to duck and donate over, do we have any clue? We don't know. We don't know what you are planning to say. Save your spirit, which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. Knoweth no man. Jesus said, those who do the will of the Father. That means the things of the Father, those who do it. Now, the Bible says that we men, we don't know it. We do not have that ability to know the will of God, or the things that God is up to, or the things that God have. Can we continue? Said, now we have, can we go back verse 11? We are not done with verse 11. Let's be there. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of what? God. So it's only the spirit of God who knows all things of God, the mind and the thought of God. And it is expected that as far as we call ourselves sons of God, we have to be led by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, those who are sons of God, those who are part of the family, are those who do the will of God. Are we on the same path? Are we on the same path? God. Therefore, we human beings are completely ignorant, let me use that word, naive of the things of God. In Isaiah chapter, in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 8, the Bible said, our ways are not his ways, neither our thoughts his thoughts. As far as the earth, can you give us? Yes. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my heart. We see the Lord. Let's continue. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So you see, this is not to say that, see, it doesn't matter who you are. This is what God is saying, that you and I, we are not on the same scale. What I think, you don't think. So you need to be helped to know the things I'm thinking, to know the ways I'm setting in place. You don't have it. So there is no way you can be a son of God without the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, I do what the Father ought. And Jesus said that I and the Father, we are ought. We are one. So there is no way we can claim that we are one with God when our thought, naturally, our thought and his thought are different. It's not possible. And the only person who can bridge that gap and help us to walk on the same wavelength with God is the Spirit of God. Because who knoweth the thought of a man except his Spirit? So we need the leadings of the Holy Spirit because we are very disadvantaged. This is very relevant and very important, that Paul's primary prayer for the church of Colossae in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 was that they will know the will of God. Yes, it's a prayer. Paul prayed that they will know the will of God. So you being born again is not a guarantee that you know the will of God. The Spirit must lead you. Are you with me? Can you read? Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. Taking it slowly, we will move in. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his what? His will. Knowledge. To know his will. Knowledge. in all wisdom and what understanding? Physical understanding. What is that? Spiritual. So when you become born again, the only way you can live the son, the life of the son, to live the reality of the sonship, is that you are being led by the Holy Spirit. Because as far as we are concerned, our life is that we should live the will of God. And we don't know it. Except the Spirit. So let me give you three reasons or four reasons why we must know the will of God. Don't forget, we are talking about the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We said that the Holy Spirit will lead us into the will of God. Or lead us in the will of God. So what are some of the reasons we need to know the will of God? Number one, the will of God is crucial for our survival and success in everything we do. It's very crucial for survival, because we can, for survival, because our ways can lead us to death. Are you with us? Can we refer to John chapter 2 verse 17? Then we will go to Proverbs chapter 14 and 12. First John chapter 2 verse 17. Let's read something here. Our survival is dependent on we knowing the will of God. And the word passeth away, and the last thereof, but he that doeth the hurt. Help me. He that doeth the hurt shall do what? Oh, come on, church. Are you with me? He that doeth the hurt shall do what? So you see that your ability to survive in every circumstances is based on your ability to do the will of God. That's why we can't trivialize the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Said the word, this is the guarantee. The word passeth away and the last thereof. What he's talking about, he's talking about systems, dimensions, change of patterns, everything. Now phones are expiring in a year. If you had iPhone 11 plus today, you are, it's nothing now. Because we have iPhone 15 coming out, right? Or it's out. Now, people who used to do homework for people and take money, they are in danger because of AI. Because now AI is doing everything for us. So the world and the system are passing by. So how do you survive? Have you seen people rising and fading out in the space of a year? I gave an example some time ago. There was this lady who called, she said, black, I don't want to use that word, but it's something Malafaka, what is her name? Rashida, right? Is it Rashida they call her? Where is she? Are you following? Where is she now? Is this an example? So it is easy to fade away. See, the systems, see, the speed at which the world is running in, we can bypass you in a second. We can, oh, you'll be relevant for a second and we are good to go. People are impatient to stay with people or stay with certain things. So the question is, how do we survive such situation? The Bible says, for those that do the will of God, they will abide. So irrespective of whatever changes that are happening, as long as you are in the will of God, you are safe. So your survivor is in the heart, the will of God. Knowing the will of God, your survivor. You think the job you are doing, your certificate will keep you there. Oh. Now, another example is in the field of football. A player can rise for a season and that is his end. Somebody will replace him. Have you not seen it? And clubs are impatient now. Deliver or you're out of the system. So how do you survive? The Bible says, for those who are in the will of God. So if you are doing something that is not in the will of God, you have already guaranteed that you are passing away. You will pass away like. So it is very important that we know the will of God and abide in it so that we can what? Abide forever. And the Bible says, we do not know the things that we do not own. We don't have that natural ability except His Spirit. So it is the Spirit that will help us to know His will. Number one reason. So, can we read Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12? So, for there's a way that seemeth what? Good. Let's read it. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of what? Death. So you see, in as much as you are sitting here, some people think that now prosperity is out of the country. That is the right way right now. Is that not it? Oh, are you with me? Oh, come on. I'm not feeling you, church, today. Now, it is obvious to the youth in Ghana that as long as you want to prosper, you have to leave the country. Is that true? That is the right way now. Is that not it? But the question is, that the will of God for you? If it is not the will of God for you to leave this country, that way will seem right for you. But you have already sentenced yourself to death. That's the scripture. Death, which could include your spiritual life, will die. Let me tell you, see, if you think I'm lying, ask those who have traveled, don't tell you. Those who God didn't send them. Those who it is not the will of God for them to go. So your survivor, I'm not saying you shouldn't travel. If, no, your face has changed. Hallelujah. Amen. No, I didn't say so. The question is, the point is, it the will of God for you? For the scripture said, for there is a way which seems right unto man. It is right. It seems right. Clear. Some of you that relate, see, everybody is entering to relationship. Now we believe that the moment you enter university level 200, you should be dating, right? Is that not it? Oh, come on, church, are you with me? When you are in the university now level 200, you should be what? Dating. Is that the will of God for you? That is when you start, the day you start, that is the day you, the devil, the organized priests and worship at hell. The day you said yes to that relationship, or you went to propose, hell gathered and they sang Hosanna. Because now when you say, you are not far from fornication, they have gotten you. Because you entered it when it was not God's will for you. So there is, since it's not God's will, you cannot abide. You cannot survive. So we need to know God's will because it is the guarantee for our survival. I pray for you that you are not out of the will of God. And you will survive. The economy of Ghana, you will survive. Oh, I said you will survive. Number two, inasmuch as it is crucial for our survival, it's also crucial for our success. As much as we know the will of God, we are guaranteed success. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 said, let this law of the Lord abide and meditate on it what? Day and night. Said, by this you shall make your way what? Prosperous and success. This book of the Lord shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have what? Not a bad success. Do you know that some successes are bad? See, this, let's be, yes, you were able to accomplish it, but on what cost? Some people have gotten first class, but they only know what they did to get that first class. Oh, it's a good thing, like first class. Some people know how they completed the university. Only God knows whether it was a good way, a good success. Some people are able to complete the university on the verdict of spoiling somebody's marriage. So they had a sugar daddy who sponsored them in the university. Some had first class because they have to sleep with lecturers. Some cheated. That's not a good success. The Bible said as long as we are in the will of God, we are guaranteed what? Success. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, one of the dangerous books in the Bible, chapter in the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 28, talks about the blessings and the curses of God. Can we read the verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1? Let's read it. If you like, go and read. You see, when you read that very chapter in the Bible, you'll be very careful with God. Then you know the curses. Hey. I think the chapter is up to about 64 verses. The first 11 or 13 is only about blessing. The rest are curses. It means that God can mafia you more than bless you. You know one of the curses? Said a woman that you have been betrothed to, just said, the lady you have, you know, it's a curse. Some broken heart can be a curse. It's in the Bible. And God said that a woman that you have been betrothed to, or by just a washing chest on the bar, you know. He said, that woman, another man shall marry, and you will see it. It's a curse. It's a curse. Shall we? And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently
unto what? The voice of what? The Lord thy God. To observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all. Today I'm giving you homework. Go and read Deuteronomy chapter 28. You will fear God. Another curse over there is that you rear an animal, fattened cow, and then they'll take it and kill it. You don't even eat some. You see it. The Midianite curse. You work, people will enjoy. Because you didn't hearken. You didn't hearken to the voice of God. You didn't know the voice of God. I pray that God will help us. That the ministry of the leadings of the Holy Spirit will yield to it. Because it's not a joke. Are you with me? I said number one, it's crucial for our survival and success. Number two, God has plans for us. A reason for which he created us. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 said, before you became a blood cloth in the womb of your mother, I called you to become what? Do you know that this plan of God is embedded in his will? In other words, you were designed according to a particular what? Plan. Is that not it? Do you have architectures here? Okay, today she's not around. We would have understood the place of plans in architecture. Now, if an architect wants to build or do an architect work for you concerning the building, that architect will need the plans for the land. Are you following? It is upon that plan the design will be what? Modeled. And it is out of that design that the physical building will be what? Erected. Your life will be a struggle if it's not going according to the plans of God. Your life will be a struggle if it's not going according to the plans of God. So Jeremiah chapter 1 verse said, before you, I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee as a prophet. Not only did he say that, in Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, he said that, for I alone know the thought I have about you, not of what? Evil, but what? Good. That will see what? An expected what? Future. See, your future is encapsulated in the plans of God, in the will of God. It's thought. The danger here is that there's an expected future that is you have to see. But if you don't know the will of God, you will not see it. Aborted destinies. The tragedy of unfinished business. Why? Because many people don't finish their business on earth because they didn't know the will of God. Because if they knew the will of God, they'll know that the thought of God is good for you. Let's move on. How many have I given to you? Let me give you a three. Number three. The reason why we need to know the will of God is because we are servants of God. And as servant of God, it's expected that we will know the will of God or do the will of God. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 6. You can't serve God. Get this right. You cannot serve God if you don't know his will. See, God is not like that man who walked to a restaurant and you ask him, you just come and then serve him anything. God is not like that. He doesn't accept anything. He accepts what he wants. If it is one scoop of jollof he wants, if you bring him two scoops, you are filled. Not with eye services as not men pleasers, but as what? The servants of what? Christ. Doing the will of what? God. You cannot do the will of God if you are not a servant of Christ. So those who serve God, they are the ones who do the will of God. The question is, are you sure you are doing the will of God? That's why we need to know the will of God as long as we want to serve him. How many of us want to serve Christ? Then we must know his will to serve him. Let me give you the last one. The reason why we need to know the will of God is because there is a promise awaiting those who do the will of God. There's a promise. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 34 to 36. There is a promise. There is a reward. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 34 to 36. Are you with me? We are still talking about the leadings of the Holy Spirit as his ministry. The leadings of the Holy Spirit. Why the Holy Spirit will lead us?
And it is summarized in one thing, that you lead us because he has to lead us into the will of God. Now let's continue. For ye had compassion of me in my bounds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourself that ye have in heaven a better and an odd enduring odd substance. The reason why believers are able to endure afflictions and go through trials and temptations and difficult times is because of this hope. Now let's continue. Verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of what? Reward. Verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Oh, I pray for you. See, there is a promise. We are not fools serving the interest of God. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 6 says that as servants doing the will of God, we are not fools, because we know that there is going to be a reward. It's just a matter of patience. The reason why you are giving up on the will of God for your life is because you have no clue that at the end of the day, not only is your survival, not only it is a guarantee of success, not only because the plans, your expected future is embedded in it, there is also a reward. That is why we would always need the leadership of the Holy Spirit to lead us. Because as many as the sons of God, they are the ones who are led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Mark chapter 3, he said, those who do the will of my Father, they are my family members. So don't be here claiming that I am a son of God, I am a friend. You're not, no, if indeed you are son, friend, brother, sister, whatever kind of family relationship you think you have with God, it comes on the burden that you are doing the will of God, which is only exclusive to the Holy Spirit, and he is willing to guide us, direct us, teach us, that we will walk in the will. I pray for you that your life will be a representation of God's will, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. So, since we have seen the very importance of knowing the will of God, how then do we know the will of God? How then do we know the will of God? It's very important. How? Some people have been asking, Pastor, I want to know the will of God for my life. Aren't you? We are still talking about the leadings of the Holy Spirit. But I have to help you with the will of God, because that is the job of the leading. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the leadings of the Holy Spirit is just one thing, to lead you into the will of God. Nothing more. So we need to know the will of God, so that when we know that the Holy Spirit is leading you, you know, okay, this thing is the will of God. This is not the will. For we to be able to know the path or the router through which we are able to know the will of God, first of all, we have to know what the will of God is. The will of God can't be divided into two. Number one, his general will and his specific will. Hallelujah. For time's sake, I will rush quickly because there is more to talk about, and we are pressed forth with time. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed? Amen. Amen. When we are done, please make time and listen to the whole first part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because God has really given you certain treasures that for the rest of your life will transform you. The general will of God, let's take that one first, talks about God's general expectation, which can be put in his form of basic desires, wishes, for every believer. General, it is standardized. That is the first point that everybody must know. Now, I want to put it to you that if you don't know the general will of God, you can never know the specific will of God. I'll come there. So, the general will of God is the stepping stone for every believer who is born again. That believer, by being able to live that will, now can be able to progress to the specific what? Will of God. I'll give you examples of the general will of God. They are all in scriptures. Today, when you go home, you can even use your concordance. Will of God. Go and check all scriptures that talks about will of God. That is the general will of God for all of us. Number one, the will of God is that all men will come to repentance. I'll give you scriptures. You're not going to read them, so we'll move fast. So number one, that all men will come to repentance. It's a will of God.
Second Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Second Peter chapter 3 verse 9. It talks about that. That God's will that all men will repent. Number two, it is the will of God that all will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17 to 18. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 17 to 18. Are we there? So it's a general will. So if you want to know the will of God for you, first of all, you have to know these ones, these basic ones. Repentance is God's will for you. So if you have repented, or you are living a life of repentance, well, you know that repentance can be a one-time occasion and a lifetime life. I've spoken about this, right? When we are looking at the faith concept. So when you are living the life of repentance, which is a life of transformation, daily life of renewal, living to the will of God, transformation of the mind, be ye transformed, renewal of your mind, it is the will of God that your mind will be renewed. Are you with me? So it is God's will for the believer. Number two, it is the will of God that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. So God wants everybody to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not, it is his will. He desires, he's expecting that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Number three, that we cease not praying. Today I'm telling you, it is the will of God that you pray always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17. And if you add a verse 18 to it, we should always be thankful to God. It is his will that everything, thank him every time. Pray. You want to know the will of God for your life? He wants you to pray every time, all the time, and be thankful all the time. Practice it. If you come to me, pastor, I don't know the will of God, I'll tell you, have you even identified the general will first? Are you doing them? Because this is what will guide you to the specific will of God. Or they want to read that one. You give them 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Maybe they think pastor is not, pastor is saying, because you think you can pray just when you feel like praying. No. The will of God, God's expectations and desire for you is that you pray always. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without what? Verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus, what? Concerning. Did you read it? So you, Papa Mo, Bonnie Mo. Oh, help me sing that song. Papa Mo, Bonnie Mo. Thank God. Can you thank God for whatever bad thing that has happened to you this week? Lift up your voice. Say, Father, I thank you. It could be that your phone got spot. No problem. Thank God. It could be that somebody cheated you on the way. Thank God for that. That at least you've been counted worthy to be cheated. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God that job you have been crying for, you have not gotten it yet. Thank God for the hunger you are going through. At least you have something to tell somebody that you have been hungry before. Thank God for it. It is the will of God that you thank God. Don't complain. Stop complaining. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through thanksgiving, in all things, through thanksgiving. It's the general will of God for your life. Let me give you another. There are a lot of them, but let me give the last one. Go and look for the rest. Go to the scripture. Just search the will of God. Search, you see them. So everything that is about the will of God written down in scriptures is the general will. Every believer must. The last one is that to abstain from sexual immorality. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 3. Abstain from sexual immorality. It is the will of God. God desires, God expects, and God wishes that you will abstain from sexual immorality. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should what? Abstain from what? Fornication. So once ask you, why shouldn't I fornicate? Tell him that if you really want to do the will of God, don't fornicate, because it is God's will for you not to fornicate. Are we solving some problems here? So the moment you decide to do this, means that you don't want to walk in the will of God. So stop asking for, if you are not ready to do these simple ones, you can't do the other ones. Okay? So this fraction. Before we move into do algebra
and then move to calculus, you have to learn to do fraction. Because this is the basis. So if you want to know the will of God for your life, you must learn the basis. I said, go to the scriptures, just search will of God. They are there, a lot of them. And see how far you are doing well with them. If you're not doing well with them, forget the specifics. Because that one you will fail. Like that one, you are already a failure. Because the easier, this one are easy. Hallelujah. The second is the specific will of God. And this will of God shows how God is interested in every detail of your personal life. Now, this one is not general. This is to you, personal, 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 personal life. Now, this specific will of God is what Jesus said, that I have come to fulfill the volumes of the book written about me. Every man that is on this earth, there is a book. There is a book. And the book we are talking about is the Word of God. There is a book there that has your destiny and everything written in it. That is where the prophets are able to prophesy out from. That is a specific will for you. The truth of the matter that it is there, but it is only accessible when you decide to search for it. So the day you decide that today I want to search for the will of God concerning my life specifically, that is when God begins to open it to you. How do we search? By first of all leaving the general will. When we begin to leave the general will, that will begin to push us to the specific will. So what are the areas, some critical areas, that we have to be able to know the will of God, specific will of God for us? Number one, our individual unique assignment on this earth. Paul said in the book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 1, said Paul, an apostle by the will of God. Paul said he was an apostle by the will of God. As you sit here, you must know what assignment that God has called you to do on this earth. That is the will of God for you. Specific. Number two, our movements and daily activities we do. God is interested. Even you traveling from here to Kumasi, God is interested. You have to ask God. It is by that way we escape accidents. God is interested. So don't just get up and then you are going. No. Pray. As David said, should I pursue? Shall I catch them? Will I recover? Hey, you have to always do that. God, should I go? Will I be successful? Where I'm going? Is he safe? And he will tell you. We can have Romans chapter 1 verse 9 to 10. Romans chapter 15 verse 30 to 32. Concerning our movement and the things we do. Romans chapter 1 verse 9 to 10. Romans chapter 15 verse 30 to 32. Hallelujah. Can I move on fast? Because I want to finish everything. Number three, God is interested in our relationship. So the specific will concerning relationship, you must ask God. When I talk about relationship, include marriage, business partners, friends and acquaintances, anything that has to do with relationship. Anything that has to do with you building some sort of network with people, God is interested. And he has his specific, it has already been outlined, the people you must meet in your life. See, it's not a coincidence. Including even your pastor, it is already listed. That is why you don't walk into any church like that. Because there is already a specific will that is written now, that you must live according to it. You must find out which church, who is my destiny connected to pastor me. You must know it. When you begin to pray into these things, specific areas, God will begin to speak to you. Hallelujah. How many of us have been able to discover these things I'm talking about specifically? How many of us are we walking in it? And this is the Holy Spirit will help you in these things. We will come there. How he was going to help you in these things. Which one have I mean? Have I talked about your corporate world engagement? So, the school you will go to, the kind of work you should do, the kind of courses you should pursue, he's interested. The business deal
He's interested. See, so do you see how God is so interested in every detail of your life? He's interested. Even your trials and challenges, He wants you to ask His will concerning it. So in this difficult time that you are in, God wants you to ask, what is His will for you concerning that one? You can read 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 19 concerning that one. These are some of the critical areas of our life that we must know the will of God. And these are specifics. Because my trial is not your trial. Are you with me? My movement is not your movement. So I'm not going to tell that. No. You have to discover that by the leadings of the Holy Spirit. That's why it is very dangerous to try to follow people blindly. Because your specifics are not my specifics. Are you here with me? Here's the danger. Your specifics are not my specifics. And God has a detailed specifics for your life. I always use myself, Elder Prince, Elder Martin, and Elder Joel as an example. Do you know that Elder Martin is older than me? But I married before him, right? We've been friends since 2009. So we have not that distance from close friends since 2009. So we've known ourselves for very long. Is that not it? Very long. I started dating in level 200. When I was dating, both of them didn't have a girlfriend. Do you know they could have also entered into a relationship? Are you following what I'm trying to say? But my specifics, it's not their specifics. Is Elder Bliss married? Is it compulsory for him to marry? You don't know the specifics for God. It is wrong for him to say that, oh, all the elders are getting married, so I should also get what? Married. The question is, that the will of God for you? Maybe God wants him to be a pope for the ministry. Hallelujah. He said never. Some of you pray about the will of God for your life. Are you sure we are not? Can we give a clap of freedom to the Lord? Said that one is not part. So do you really get it? So you don't jump into things because it is trending. You don't jump into things because everybody's doing it, because the will of God are specifics, individual. And it is when we allow the Spirit to lead us, we will discover the differences. They are working. I'm into full-time ministry. But we all completed university. Funny enough, it's only AB who had first class. The rest of us are second class up. So we are all equally brilliant. But the will of God. So can see close friends as how close we are. You can see the distinctions. You can see the lines drawn. Each of us following the pattern God has set for us, not copying anybody. You, when you see somebody is doing this, you're also following. Some of you enter in relationship because others are doing it. Some of you are doing business because everybody is doing it. Somebody are doing, so you're also doing it. Please, is that what God is asking you to do? That is where you expire, because you are not abiding in the will of God, so you will not abide forever. Amen. So these two categories are God's perfect will for us. It is therefore important that we search thoroughly for His perfect will and align with it. Can we read Ephesians chapter 5 verse 10? Now I'm entering into the very key aspect. How we find or we walk in the will of God. Through the leadings of the Holy Spirit. The guidance and the direction. I'm heading towards it. Let's go. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 10. Oh Jesus. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Continue, let me see. Okay, hold on, I'm coming. Let me confirm. So, we need to know the perfect will of God for ourselves. Hallelujah. So, are you following? Are you with me? Are you with me? God. So, I want to confirm that scripture because it's very important. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I said Ephesians chapter what? 5. Okay. Yeah. It's Ephesians chapter 5. Yes. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 10, right? Oh, okay. All right. I used the NLT. So, the King James says what? Uh-huh. The King James, again, proving what is what? Unto the Lord. That's how we know what is acceptable. That is the, what is acceptable is the will of God. Proven. So we need to what? Search for the will of God for our life. How then do we search for the will of God? Finding out what the will of the Lord is. In the book of Romans chapter 12, if you read the verse 1, 2, 3, it said that if we are renewing our mind, we will end up to prove what is what? Good and not perfect and not acceptable will of God. So we need to find the will of God for us. So how do we find the will of God? Now, we'll go back to our second reading to establish how to find the will of God. God's will, especially the specific will of God, is only accessible to us when we search for it. And that is why God created us as what? A seeking being. I hope I've explained this concept of a seeking being. Because God's will, specific will concerning our life, is only discoverable when we are able to search. So the Bible said, it is the glory of God to hide the matter, but it is the honor of kings to search. And I explained that last week over here. So we need to search and find the will of God. Now, how do we do it? What are the provided mechanism, endorsed and approved mechanism by God, by which we can find the will of God? This is very critical. Follow me very well. Can we read our Matthew chapter 16, right? Verse 13. Let's go there. Are we there? When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, I am? Now, Jesus was asking for what? Specifics. Are you following me? Which is the will of God? Specifics. Now go to the verse 16. Let's jump all the things that the guys have said. Go to verse 16. Let's go there. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art what? The Christ, the Son of what? The living God. What did Jesus say next? Verse 17. Said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for what? Flesh and what? Had not revealed it unto what? Thee. But my Father which is in what? So, what are the two things he mentioned here? He spoke about two ways by which people can try to know the will of God. Number one, flesh and what? Blood. And then that of what? The Father. That is what? Divine what? Revelation. Now, let's talk about the flesh and blood. Because we are having issues in the church. Because people think that the revelations of God can be done by what? Flesh and blood. Let's quickly look at it. Flesh and blood. Flesh and blood revelation is when people use human senses rather than the Spirit of God to find out the will of God. This system and mechanism was only permissive in the Old Testament. Why? Because they didn't have the Spirit of God in them. It was only permissive in the Old Testament, said that they had these two models by which they were able to use to find the will of God using their senses. Number one, they have what you call the Urim and the Thummim, which means light and not perfection. Exodus chapter 28 verse 30, you can read it. You find out that the priest, they use the Urim and the Thummim to what? Find out what God wants them to do. And this has to do with a yes or no. So there are two stones or two things over here. When this one makes or show up, it means that God is saying what? Yes. If this one shows up, it says what? No. That was what most David used when he wanted to go after what? His wife. He said, bring me the effort. Do you remember? Shall I go? Okay, yes. Will I reach? Yes. So that one, it was flesh and blood means of what? Revelation. God permitted that in the Old Testament, but not now. It is dangerous. Number two, we have what you call the fleece, F-L-E-E-C-E. This is explained as using physical outcomes to predict the will of God for your life. And this is the typical life of the current Christian life we have. Physical outcome. Can I give you an example in the Bible? Do you remember Gideon? When Gideon asked the angel, what shows that God has sent me to go and fight the Midianite? What did God do? He asked him to lay a skin of an animal. And when he woke up, it rained on it. And it didn't rain around it. Is that not it? The next day, it rained around it. It didn't what? That is what we call a fleece. Using a physical outcome. Say, right, this is one year away. I mean, you see. Are you with me? It is never God's way of knowing the will of God. Physical outcome. Before the Holy Spirit came on the early disciples, do you know that's how they used to select Judas's replacement? Did you hear of him again? In reality, if you look into the spiritual alignment, the actual replacement for Judas was what? Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul became the actual replacement of Judas Iscariot. But the disciples, when the Holy Spirit didn't come on them, they needed the physical outcome. So the Bible said they casted a lot. See, when the Holy Spirit came, do you ever see them casting a lot again? So the question is, how did you find out the will of God for your life? Are you looking at physical outcome? If it rains, God has come today. If it doesn't rain. So some of us, we come to church when there is shining. When it is raining, means that today, it means God's actually come to you. You are using flesh and blood. Some of us, when you are not feeling well, means that God does not want us to come to church. You are using what? Flesh and... Oh, say it louder. You are using what? When he comes with black Audi or Mercedes Benz or a Highlander, that is the man God wants me to hurt. You are using flesh and what? Yeah, that's a fleece. That is, Jesus said all the other means that they mentioned there is flesh and blood. But the revelation that came from the Father is what he endorsed. Divine revelation is the means and the perfect realtor God has given us to know his will, because he is a divine being and he will not accept us discovering him and his will through our natural means. In the book of John chapter 4 verse 23 and 24, he said, for the time has come and it is now. That was the day that the thing changed, that the true worshippers who do what? Worship the Lord in truth and what? For this is what the Father what? Desires. John chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. So God, from the day that Jesus came and the Holy Spirit started working on earth, let go. He never gave it. He has stopped using that system. So stop being like the people of Israel when the tabernacle now contained the ark of God was the tabernacle of David, and they still go to the tabernacle of what? Moses to offer sacrifices. You are a religious person. But the hour has come. Tell your friend, the hour has come. And now is. We are talking of now, not tomorrow. When the true what? So it is only false worshippers who think that they can use physical means to attain God's means. The only way we can know the will of God is by divine spirit means. So, and shall worship the Father in what? Spirit and in all truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Continue to verse 24. God is what? Shout it out. God is what? He's not physical. God is spirit. Are you with me? Eh? You can't text for an oxygen by holding the substance. Because oxygen is not solid. Can you know the texture of an oxygen by holding it? Are you with me? You want to know the texture of an oxygen by holding it. Can you hold it? Because oxygen is what? Gas. So if you want to examine the texture of an oxygen, you must use a method that is related to the gas element. Say, God is what? A spirit. And then that worship him must worship him in what? In. So where come it from this, that physical evidence? If you want to use physical outcome to judge that this is the will of God for you, you will miss it completely. You will miss it completely. You miss it completely. Are you with me? So divine means is how we know the will of God. However, this spirit, this divine means is only exclusive to the Holy Spirit, as I said in the beginning. The spirit knows exactly who God is, what God is, what he likes, he dislikes, his will for you, which we call mysteries, hidden for you, is the Holy Spirit. And do you know the practical desire of the Holy Spirit for you? Is that he will help you to lead the will of God. John, no, let's read Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. So the only router for we to know the will of God is divine. Are you with me? And that divine, we don't have that physical ability to know that divine means. It's by what? The Spirit. So it is the Spirit of God who will guide us into that divine engagement. So the Bible says, for he that is born of spirit is spirit. Jesus said that if you are not born again, you cannot even see it. Not to talk of what? Experiencing it. So when we become born again, we must take to the roots of being born again. Being spirit. He that is born of spirit is what? Spirit. And therefore we rely heavily on the Spirit. By that we will know that which is the will of God for ourselves. So for God is spirit. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Romans 8 26. Let's read that quickly. And 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth us our infirmity, right? For we know not what we should what? Pray for, or we ought. Can you get this whole revelation here? Even when it comes to our, you see, it is the will of God for us to pray, but we don't know. We don't know how to pray. This is serious. We don't know. Do you know why you speak in tongues before you start praying? Because at that instant, you don't know the will of God that you should pray about. Do you know? But the moment you begin to speak in tongues, all these tongues, you are engaging the Spirit of God, is that not it? Then you say that you start to pick prayer topics in your heart. God said, pray for this person. How many of you have experienced that kind of prayer life before? Pray for this person. Pray about this. Because you don't know physically. If I ask you right now, what God wants you to pray about, you don't know. You don't know. But the moment you begin to engage the Spirit, he helps. The infirmity here is that by physical, we cannot know the will of God. So the disciples said, for the Spirit helped us in our infirmity. Do you know infirmities? Infirmity means weakness. We have weakness. That is the flesh. The flesh has been our weakness. So the Holy Spirit has come to help that weakness, that infirmity in us. And that is the infirmity that because we are flesh, we are in the flesh. We are disconnected from God. We are not able to know his perfect will. So the Spirit cometh. And then by that, he's able to help us. Even when it comes to prayer. But the Spirit itself make it what? Intercession. For us, with groanings which cannot be what? Uttered. Continue to the verse 27. Listen to what the verse 27 said. And he that searcheth the hearts, knoweth what is the mind of what? The Spirit. Because he maketh intercession. For they said, according to what? The will of God. I pray for you. See, I've built. If you have been following, you see what I'm trying to talk about. It's one thing, the leadings of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is not leading you in everything you are doing, you are in trouble. It is very sad that you wake up and see when you begin to downplay the place of the, if after this series you still downplay the place of the Holy Spirit in your life, you are not you means that you yourself you have decided that you will not be serious in your life. There is an infirmity in us. We need to admit it. And because of that infirmity, the Spirit cometh to help us. Even in the sense that we don't even know how to pray. And this help is built upon the what? The will of God. I pray for you that you will not use flesh and blood to try to discover the will of God for your life. Beard and six packs is not what makes the marriage good. That you will not look at his present outcome and say that, oh, this is going to be a... May you not be a victim like Samuel, who will see the physical outlook. Because men look, that is our infirmity. We can only see the outward. We can't see the inward. So the Spirit help us according to the will of God. And in doing so, he leads us. That help into the will of God comes to what? Leading. And this leading is encapsulated in the teaching of the Holy Spirit. His guidance and not direction. Let the Spirit of God lead you. Let the Spirit of God lead you. As many that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Amen. So now, how the Spirit leads us into all truths, into bracket, God's will. There are four mechanisms by which the Holy Spirit leads us. I will talk about I'll talk about one, and I'll teach the rest of the three at Wednesday services. Hallelujah. Caesar, do you agree to that? Alright. So those who wants to know the rest can come for Wednesday service, because time is fast spent. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God leads us, especially in the specific will of God, through four mechanisms, and I'm going to put them in the order of relevance to God. In the order of relevance, I already mentioned this last week Sunday. Now I'm going to go into details, because this thing I'm talking about is actually the continuation of the guidance and the directions of the Holy Spirit, which all subjected to what? Leading. Number one, the Holy Spirit leads us through our regenerated spirit. The guidance and the directions of the Holy Spirit comes through our regenerated spirit. And that is the primary source. And I mentioned it last week here. Why? Because your spirit is the real you. You are spirit who lives in a body and have a soul. So God will, that if God wants to deal with you, he deals with the real you, not the fake you. Your flesh is not you. Your soul is not you. Your real you is your spirit. So God's primary way of dealing with you is your spirit, because that is the real you. So he leads us, or he guides us through the spirit. That is his primary engagement, because your spirit is the real you. Number two, when the life of God comes to you, the first place of impact, the first place of full impact is your spirit. Translation. So as far as you are here, the only safe place that God can fully deal with you is your spirit, because the only one that is fully complete. Your soul is in transformation, or in process. Your flesh, your body will be transfigured when it is finished. So the soul is not perfect for God to use. Are you with me? Your mind has not reached perfection yet, but your spirit here is fully perfect. So God will take the perfect side of you and engage. That is why the Spirit is God's primarily way of leading you. The Spirit. Now, for us to understand how God leads us in the Spirit, you have to understand the three components of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of a man. I already taught this in the value system of the believer. I explained the three components of the Spirit, the three components of the soul, and the three components of the body. Do you remember? I said the body is made up of what? Skeleton, blood, and what? Flesh. Is that not it? The soul is made up of what? The mind, the will, and what? Affection. And the spirit is also made up of three. Now, the Holy Spirit engages us, guides us, directs us in order to lead us through these three divisions of your soul, your spirit. The first one is your conscience. Now, when I'm talking about the leadings, how the Holy Spirit lead us in our spirit or guide us in our spirit, you can read Romans chapter 8, verse 16. For the Spirit beareth witness with us. But that witness is talking about the guidance and the directions of the Holy Spirit. Now, the first component of your spirit is called conscience. The conscience is that part of your spirit that is responsible for distinguishing between good and what?
Evil.
So as you are here, for you to distinguish between this, that it is good and it is evil, it is your conscience that is in the spirit, your spirit. So you know that sometimes you can be doing something, you within you, have you heard that? You know it is wrong, but you'll be doing it hardcore. On my soul 24/7. You know that what you're doing is not right, but sometimes you can be doing something, you are not so bold, but within you know this thing is right. I should do it. You know what is happening? Your conscience is alive. It helps you to distinguish between right and wrong. The Holy Spirit uses it, first of all, by purging it with the blood. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. When God encounters you, the first thing he does is that he purges your conscience with the blood. And he becomes active. So that's why I told you last time that the Holy Spirit does not convict the believer. It is his what? His spirit, your conscience. Becomes alive. So the Holy Spirit will use that now to help you. So the primary way by which the believer begins to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit in terms of what? Guidance and direction is your conscience. Right and wrong. Right and wrong. Right and wrong. So you don't, that's why you don't need your pastor to tell you that sleep over. It's right or wrong. Your conscience will tell you. Who called you and how did you feel about it? Hey, it's the Holy Spirit. He's guiding you. That is the beginning stage. So the Holy Spirit will warn you about something that is evil, and he will do that through your heart, your conscience. So he becomes active and he will warn you. So if this is evil, it's the Holy Spirit. That's why when you cannot listen to your conscience, it means that your salvation, there is a problem. We have to check it. Because that is where God will lead you. To know what is evil. Know what is good and God. I'm talking of right and wrong. That is the beginning stage. The more the Holy Spirit is able to lead you to your conscience, the more you begin to mature. That is where you grow in discernment. Not descending, discernment. Knowing what is right and what is what? Wrong. If you know how the Holy Spirit will guide you, point number one, your spirit, he guides you to your conscience. Note, for God to be able to guide you or direct you to your conscience, you must know the word of God. Do you remember that I told you that the voice of God, you know the voice of God through the word last week? So this is when you know that this is, it is through the word. So when you study the word, he will use that word to speak to you what is right and what is what? Wrong. That's why people who do not know right or wrong in the kingdom are people, if you find their life, they don't have a good Bible studies life. Because if you study the word of God well, he will, your conscience that is active will be engaged frequently. Tell her this is right. This is what? Wrong. You don't need me. You don't need me. The word of God will tell you right and wrong. Number two, your intuition. The intuition of your spirit is that part of your spirit that knows things supernaturally. You just know. Supernaturally, just know. Intuition. Intuition. As you sit here, are you a Christian? I'll ask you a question. Are you a Christian? Bill, are you a Christian? How did you know you're a Christian? You know you have been saved. Do you know why? He knows. That is the intuition. Supernaturally, he knows. There's no way you tell Bill that you will go to hell, you believe, you not believe you. Because there is something in him active telling him without any doubt that as he's here, he's born again. He's going to heaven. When people begin to doubt their salvation, their intuition is having a problem. So the Holy Spirit will continue to minister that assurance to you that you are saved through your intuition. You know supernaturally. So how did the Holy Spirit use this? So this part of the spirit, so this part of the spirit is where is usually the place where information about your destiny is stored. I want to talk about this one very well. He uses this part to guide you to make right decisions by releasing information into your intuition without any shadow of doubt. So you see, there are certain things you do, Even though you look at all the circumstances around you, that this everyone knows that it's not work, but something within you will tell you that it work. And there is no way you doubt it a second, you just move on and you do it. Who have ever experienced that before? I want you to, so it means you have not been experiencing the guidance, and you did something that you just know within you that it will work. You didn't argue about it at all. Yes, when to do it. Yes, hello, and it worked. That's your intuition. The Holy Spirit dropped that supernatural knowledge in you. Now, it is that is the place where your destiny is, everything about your destiny is fully stored. And the Holy Spirit will begin to bring them out. So you realize as you grow spiritually, you begin to know certain things about you. When I was born again, I didn't know I can teach you that word. I didn't know I'll become a pastor. As I was growing, maturity, then you tell that you begin to know. Now, you don't need to tell me that this is what I go do for the rest of my life. You don't need to tell me. I know. And that is why I made decisions without even thinking twice. Because I've been convicted without doubt that this is my life. It didn't come from the day I was born again. It came as a result of me growing. The intuition. Right decision. So for the believer to make right decisions about their life, it is how their intuition is active. And the Holy Spirit is able to engage their intuition. So your destiny is stored in this area. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11. Is there. When we become born again, a lot of information about our destiny, our calling, everything is released into our spirit. And when it is released into your spirit, the place where it is stored is what? Your intuition. So the question is, how do we get this information? When you begin to mind your spirit, this information should start flowing. That is when you become matured. Maturity, when you are growing, so what is it? That's why when you be spiritually minded, you are alive. That means that you begin to discover everything concerning you. As you sit here, anything God wants to do with you is fully stored in your intuition. Is there? So maturity is what God uses. As you are growing the things of God, then you begin to discover the things in you. So this thing you know right now is not because it came now. No, it has been there from the day you were born again. It is there. There are many things that you are going to discover that you think it didn't just come. It is there. You now matured enough to what? Come into contact with it. So God will bring those information to you that you can be able to understand them. Now, if God tries to get you by maturity, if you are not growing well, and there is a need for you to have access to those information, God can either use... Are you following me? Dreams or prophetic word or godly counsel to bring things that are hidden in you. So this is where the work of the prophet is very important. The prophet can look at you and God will give him the permission to bring something that is hidden in your intuition that you don't know. The moment he makes mention of it, you see that it will register in your spirit and you say, this is how we know a fake word and a true word. When somebody prophesies to you and your peace is gone, that is not the will of God. Because if it is God, you will know. It will just come alive. Because it is already in your spirit. It has just been what? Opened. So what am I trying to say? Prophetic word is just a word out of the whole book in your spirit. So it is better to live by the intuition rather than to live on prophetic word. Because everything is in your spirit. And that is the only way. That's why the leadings of the Holy Spirit is primarily your spirit. Last one, the fellowship. So the full knowledge of whatever the prophet has told you, or a prophet will tell you, the full knowledge of whatever God wants to do in your life resides in your spirit, in your intuition. So when you are mindful of your spirit, listen to it. So when you are mindful of your spirit, you will practically discover them. So the prophet will just come to confirm something you already know. And just smile. I know this. Hallelujah. Last one, fellowship. This is the part of your spirit that makes it possible for spirit to communicate with you. So the fellowship side of you is where there is the ability to transfer information between you and the Spirit of God. Do you know the Spirit of God resides in you? How does it pass information to you? It's at your fellowship side of the Spirit. So your spirit is divided into what? Conscience, intuition, and fellowship. The fellowship aspect is to help you transact information or receive information, exchange information with spirits. So how did the Holy Spirit use this? This is always a flow of information. So the Holy Spirit generates feelings in our spirits to be able to discern the right direction of Him. So that is why the fellowship is the feeling side of your spirit. So you are able to sense that the Holy Spirit wants you to go this direction. Number one, this is what we call an inner perception or impression. Let me be catcher and say. How many of us have ever said that? Let me be catcher and say. That's your fellowship side, connecting to the Holy Spirit. So He creates that impression in your spirit. Then He brings it something out. So you begin to feel somewhere that I need to wake up and pray. Impression. So you receive that impression. So that inner impression and perception that you pick is because the Holy Spirit is having interaction with your spirit. It is not a voice or thought, but an inward impression, a premonition or perception. We can read the book of Acts chapter 27 verse 9 to 11. Time is fast spent, so I just want to quickly go through them. Acts chapter 27 verse 9 to 11. Write that scripture down. So the inward impression I'm talking about, the premonition, the impression I'm talking about, is an impression of peace. Total peace. So God used peace to determine the direction of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God. So now you know why Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, verse 7, that the peace of God that transcends all understanding will do what? Guide you. Do you understand it now? Because that information that the Holy Spirit will pass to you, it is in your fellowship that you pass the information through. And when it comes on the radar of peace. An impression, a premonition, a perception that is calm. It does not trouble you. Peacefully, it's released. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15, Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 to 7. So when you feel peace and at rest about something, it is a sign that the Holy Spirit is giving you the green light. And most of you, if you talk to me, see, I've been using this thing to tell you that how do you feel about this thing? Are you at peace with it? If you are at peace with it, it's a green light. But the moment your spirit is troubled, it's rest and don't go. That is the side of your fellowship. So this is how the Holy Spirit engages your spirit to guide you and to what? Direct you. So number one, your conscience is to know the right and wrong. Your intuition is to do what? Your intuition is to do what? Yes. Oh, are you with me, church? The knowing spiritually. God just dropped. You just know the conviction about something. And the fellowship is what? The exchange of what? Information between you and the spirit. All this is the work in the spirit. And that is how God guides you. Hallelujah. Let me mention the other ones. The other one is God engages your heart. The Spirit of God uses your heart to direct you. We call it the cries in our hearts. The cries in our hearts. The cries in our hearts. Time is fast spent, so I may not be able to talk into details about these ones, but Jesus, Father, thank you. Wow. Are you with me? If we read Galatians chapter 4 verse 6, it said, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying out about Father. So there is a cry of the heart. There is a cry of the heart. There's a cry of the heart. Now, the cry of this heart is simple. We know that our heart, I've already spoken about the value system, is
the meeting point between the spirit and the mind. You know that. And the major work of the heart is to what? Love or to hate. In quotes. Mewana. So we either use our heart to love something or to what? Hate something. Now the Holy Spirit manipulates that two elements, especially your love, to guide you and direct you. So the Holy Spirit will manipulate your heart by sowing your desire into a particular things that he wants you to like. So you see that you'll be there, you begin to like to do something. You are just there, you just love children. You just want to do things for children. Are you there? As we are here, your own is that I want to be at church first and make sure I clean this whole place. Matters ministry. There's nothing you can do to take Portia out of kitchen. If you like, do what she wants to be in the kitchen. If you ask her, between her sitting with the president or going to cook at camp meeting, she will go and cook. Do you know why? The Holy Spirit has manipulated her desire towards that. Feed people. Are you with me? Hello? So, if you notice that you have a strong desire for certain things, strong desire, pushing you to do certain things, it is the cry of the heart. It's the cry of the heart. So your calling, your ministry, God used the cry of the heart, manipulate it. This is what when it becomes very intense, we call it the burdens of the heart. I'm being burdened. I'm rushing through these ones. So God can use the cry of the heart, the burden. You manipulate your desire. Are you with me? So you'll be there, you grow a strong desire for something. There are times you can grow a strong desire for fasting and prayer. You'll be praying like never before, like you don't get tired. The Holy Spirit just manipulated the cry of your heart. When he's trying to get your attention, you make it a heavy burden. Sometimes you can even feel it physical. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit wants me to do something, I can feel that there is a weight on my chest. I don't know if anybody has experienced that. So the moment I enter the place of prayer, then you give me notice. Tackle this, do this, do this. The moment I am done, especially praying, you feel that the physical pain is gone. The cry of the heart is the Holy Spirit. However, the Holy Spirit can use this system when your motives are right. So anytime you have a desire for something, ask yourself, why are you doing it? Why are you doing ministry? Is it because of money or fame? Or you genuinely love to do it? Do you get it? So the cry of the heart is being protected by our motive. Why are you doing it? I've given you two, right? So the spirit, the cry of the heart, then we come to what he reveals. Number three. The Holy Spirit is very good in revealing things. He takes interest in revealing things. The Holy Spirit. He takes interest in revealing things. I want to quickly rush through this because of time. The Holy Spirit is a revealer. Hence, he guides us by revealing things through, number one, the Word of God. I said we'll be talking about these ones in details on Wednesdays. The Word of God. Number two, through dreams, visions and trance. So now when we start teaching about dreams and visions, you know that it is a medium by which the Holy Spirit can use to guide and not direct you. The leadings of the Holy Spirit. And that is the aspect where he used to reveal. He's a reveler. The Holy Spirit is into revelation. He gives revelations. So if the Holy Spirit is able to get you through your spirit, he can go by this medium of what? Revealing things through the scriptures or through dreams, through visions or what? Through trance. Number four, last one. He speaks expressly. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, said, the Spirit is express. The Holy Spirit has a voice. He's loud. He can speak. So, one of the ways he's able to lead you is that he speaks. Number one, he can speak expressly. That is a spectacular way which the Holy Spirit can speak to you. True. An encounter with supernatural encounter with him. God did that with Jesus did that with Kenneth Hagin. I hope you've heard that of his stories. And these are not regular things. Or we can encounter a departed man of God in a vision or a dream. That's the Holy Spirit. He can use them. But these are not the primary one is what? The Spirit. But these mediums can also be what? Exploited. But they are being guarded. We will look at them. He can speak to your mind. The Bible says he will bring all things to their remembrance. That is he speaking to your mind. So the Holy Spirit can speak to your mind.
Number three, he can speak through circumstances to you. Sometimes you can be there, you see certain things happening, you know that the Holy Spirit is guiding you. Do you know that some people, the Holy Spirit uses circumstances to get them? Huh? Something happened and that's how they became serious with God. Some of you are serious with God because of certain things that has happened to you. God will use circumstances. So he can use the school you go to. He can orchestrate you to go to a particular school and then go and meet a teacher who will become a man of God to you. And that is how you raise you. So circumstances, God can use business, promotion, things happen around you. But this is not the primary. This is God's last resort. If all things have not worked. But you know, we have put the last before the first. And the first behind the last. Last one. God can speak through matured or godly counsel. This is where men come in. These are the four ways the Holy Spirit guides you. And he can lead you through them. But be mindful of the first, your spirit. I pray for you that you will live your life under the full influence of the Holy Spirit. You can never be transformed if you are not under the leadings of the Holy Spirit. This year and the years ahead of us, God wants us to have spectacular life. Bayon was coming this morning, was telling me that there are many things that are coming to shake this world. But those who abide in my will will never be moved. God wants you to stay in his will. Stay in every will that he has for you. Both his specific and general will. And for that matter, because of our infirmity, he has made available the help of the Holy Spirit, which is a ministry unto us, that he will lead us in the perfections of our sonship. It's my prayer that you will not neglect the help of the Holy Spirit. Said, likewise, the Holy Spirit helps us in our infirmity. I pray for you that you allow the Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness. That the Spirit of God will lead us into the paths of all righteousness. For his name's sake. He will lead us in the path of all righteousness. That tomorrow, when people see you, they'll ask, how come you survived? How come you are attaining good success? Why are you being so rewarded? And you tell them that because I knew the will of God. And the Spirit of God helped me to know his will. This year God will help you. God will help you. The Spirit of God will lead you. The Spirit of God will lead you. You will not miss the guidance and the directions of the Holy Spirit. Neither are you going to miss the teachings of the Holy Spirit. It's a life of transformation for us. We are going to live a life exactly as how God has designed it to be for us. Because it's a time that we engage the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Amen.
So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.